Good morning to each one. It is good to be here, and I'm thankful for each of you who are here today. I want to welcome each one. And wish the grace and peace of God on each person here today. I consider it a privilege and also a grave responsibility to share in this way in this service. I appreciate your prayers and your continued prayer in that. But I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about the opportunity to share together in the communion service and to think about what Jesus has done for us, what took place, and what it means for me today, what it means for you, what it means for us as we serve in the kingdom of God. I've entitled the message, "The I Am Come to Earth." And I'd like to focus on the seven I Ams that Jesus referenced in the book of John. And I hope you prepared your hearts for this service today. I thought we could have benefited just from reading through the book of John. As I went through it, I was just so blessed as I went through chapter after chapter and just to see what the word coming to life and to see God revealing himself to mankind and through Jesus bringing a plan of salvation. It's a beautiful picture for us today, and a beautiful picture that is in sharp contrast to the darkness and the despair of sin and a life without God. And so just picture with me a little bit, man without God. And I have some words that I would use as descriptions of man without God. Void, darkness, separation, alone, death, confusion, emptiness. And that's really a life of sin, a life apart from God. And I'm so grateful that Jesus addressed these conditions with statements declaring, "I am," and then following with a remedy to sin and alienation from God. My goal in the message today would be to give us a renewed appreciation for what Jesus did in coming to earth and providing a way for us to be freed from the bondage of sin and restored to God. I'm going to be going through quite a few scriptures this morning, and I invite you to follow along. I think it's important for us to see these scriptures, and especially a lot of these, if your Bible has the words of Christ in red, you'll see these as direct statements from Jesus. And so I would encourage you to follow along as we read these scriptures. But we want to begin by turning to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll be getting into the seven I Ams that are mentioned later in John. But I have two scriptures I wanted to turn to before we get to those. And we'll start reading here, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, reading through verse 20. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of God, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So this portion of Scripture comes towards the end of Jesus' ministry. And it's interesting that he's now saying, he's asking them, who are people saying that I am? And their response in 14, I think, gives a lot of indication about where the, especially the Jewish people had come to. They're saying he's John the Baptist. Some are saying he's Elijah. Some he's Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But it's largely rejecting Jesus as a Messiah. And he's asking them, who do you say that I am? And of course, we're blessed by Peter's response, and I hope that can be our response. But I want you to notice verse 20, where it says, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Why do you think he told them not to tell anyone? I want you to think about that some, or we'll turn to another scripture in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus has a rather lengthy back and forth with the Jews here. And Jesus states, let's read verse 58. "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And you notice here their reaction to Jesus making this statement. Verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." So this statement was considered blasphemy by the Jewish people, because Jesus is essentially saying that he is God. And to them it was a blasphemous statement, but to us it's a very clear indication of God's plan. Jesus come to earth, God's plan being given to humanity to make an escape from sin and from separation from God. And I had to think, I think there was probably a reason that Jesus didn't make this statement more often than he did. When you see the kind of response that they gave, I believe Jesus was committed to the will of the Father to set free and provide a way of redemption for a sin-bitten humanity. In different times, Jesus declared that it was not yet his time. He was committed to perfectly fulfilling the timeline set by the Father. And I believe that's why Jesus had to be careful in the way he expressed some of these things, because he understood the response of the people. Here in John, he speaks here about, back to Jesus understanding that this statement would create this type of a response. I think him recognizing that, he chose to other times to, in a more metaphorical way, describe who he was, or we would say use other illustrations to declare or describe to them who he was, so that they could have an opportunity of receiving it and not just respond in complete outrage and rejection. And so that's where I think the statements that we're going to go through of the I ams of Jesus, I think, come into play, where Jesus tried to use illustrations that would make sense to them, that would resonate in their minds, and they could start to create a connection of what Jesus can be, who Jesus is. And so I think it's from that perspective it starts to make sense as we see the different illustrations that Jesus uses to describe himself and who he is as the Savior of the world. So we're going to turn now to John chapter 6 for the first of these. John chapter 6, Jesus says here, "I am the bread of life." And I mentioned some of those words of darkness and of separation. I think each of these points I'm going to list as a direct response to the darkness. And the first one was void. And Jesus now says, "I am the bread of life." Let's read John chapter 6, verses 30 to 40. "They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus states here that he will fill the God-given desire to know and to be filled. And think about a void that's within the heart of a person. I believe we talk about sometimes a God-sized hole. I believe we're created with a desire to know the Creator. And I believe that's what it's talking about here when Jesus says he's the bread of life. He is that source by which we can know the Father and be known of the Father. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus is the bread of life. He can fill the void of a heart that's separated from God. The next one is found in John chapter 8. So just page back a little bit. And this is, we talked about darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Notice here, Jesus is talking to the people who brought the woman in adultery. Jesus helped them understand their blindness, and he helped them understand to see that they were sinners themselves. They were bringing someone and accusing her of sin, and he helped them understand that they are sinners, and so he shone a light into their blindness. He also very literally illustrated this a chapter later in chapter 9, verse 5, where in this portion he heals the blind man. And it's interesting that he makes this statement immediately after doing that, it makes a very vivid picture for the people. Chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light that dispels the darkness of a heart of sin. It's a tremendous blessing. Number 3, Jesus says, I am the door. And this is the response to the separation that is experienced without God. Turn to John chapter 10. And we'll read verses 7 to 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is the access to God the Father. The way to safety, protection, and peace. We can now experience the love, grace, and mercy of the Father. I believe the going in and out represents a continual coming into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is the door. He is the access to the Father. Number 4, I am the good shepherd. And this is a response to us being alone, or I would say vulnerable, or just alone. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. And this is just continuing from where we were. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus becomes, through our belief in him, our Savior, protector, one we can have a relationship with. Jesus states he will literally give his life for the sheep. He will fight for and protect the sheep, and will have a relationship with those who follow him. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And a bishop is a guardian, could be a guardian or a caretaker. Jesus is the shepherd, the answer to our loneliness. Someone we can have a relationship with. The next one, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. And this would be in response to death and the fear of death. Here again, Jesus makes this illustration at a point of time where it would have had a very great impact, right when Lazarus passed away. Probably couldn't have made it at any point in time when it would have made a greater impact on the people and helped them to understand what he was saying. Verse 23 of chapter 11. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus is freedom from the bands of death. Jesus very clearly states the person who believes in him, though his body will die, his spirit will live forever. And I would ask us today, do you believe this? We can live without fear of death. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Number 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, and I would say this is a response to the confusion and maybe the doubt of a life without Jesus. We'll read verses 1 through 7 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Jesus is the only way to God, the clear answer in the face of many voices. Through Jesus, we can have assurance of knowing God in this life and being with him throughout eternity. Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, Jesus says, I am the true vine. John chapter 15. And I would say this is in response to the emptiness of a heart that doesn't know Jesus. Let's read verses 1 through 12 of John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus promises that he will sustain and continually provide for those connected to him. Christ enables us to follow him and to live out the example he left. We will be filled with a love for others if we are truly experiencing the love of Christ ourselves. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And I'd like to just turn back again to Matthew chapter 16. And in verse 15, Jesus says, "But whom say ye that I am?" And I would just like to ask that question to each of us today. Who is Jesus to you? And I pray that all of us, that everyone here, can either experience now or in the future the knowledge that, or that can get to a point where they say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And not because of man's persuasion, but through a personal experience of faith in Jesus Christ.